And now we're definitely into Advent and Christmas, which will strike some of you with joy and some of you with fear, loathing and terror. So, who's feeling Christmassy? Some people? Okay. So about maybe half, okay? So just a little survey. Who has put their tree up? Not everybody, okay? Okay, ours normally goes up around the 15th, but we were whinged and pestered into putting it up early, okay? Who has written their cards? Okay, okay. Who's bought and wrapped their presents? Jimmy, because Jimmy's going to New York. Heather, excellent. If preparing for Christmas was just about the things that we had to do in December, then it would be quite easy. Advent has a lot of themes to it, and preparing for the first coming and the second coming of Jesus is one of those themes. And light and darkness is another set of Advent themes. We talk about the light that has come blazing into the world in Jesus Christ at Christmas, that Jesus is the light of the world. One thing that is different to West Kirby than my previous church in Coventry is that you can see the stars here in West Kirby. There's obviously less light pollution by the sea than there was in the middle of a city centre. Funny that, it's not rocket science. You could rarely see the stars if you looked up into the sky in Coventry, but here you can quite often see the stars and the starlit night. I love looking up and seeing the stars because it gives me a sense of God is here and I am here, just a little part in what God has got planned. The best place that I have ever seen for stars is when Paul and I went to the remote Scottish island of Iona, which is one of my special places with me and God. It was stunning because there's obviously very little light pollution, and I've never seen so many stars. Astonishing. No street lights, nothing to get in the way of a completely perfect night sky. Somebody once said when they looked up and saw a starlit sky, this phrase, which is kind of what we're thinking about tonight. Only when it's dark enough can you see the stars. Well, that's kind of logical, isn't it? Because obviously you can't see the stars when it's sunny. Only when it's dark enough can you see the stars. Darkness has a place to see the stars. As I said earlier, today's the third Sunday in Advent, and amidst of all the preparing for Christmas, it's also a chance to pause and to reflect once more on what Jesus' coming actually means. And some of the themes for Advent are actually quite somber and quite serious. And I've chosen a really somber and serious passage tonight. How unlike you may say. It's not the most cheery passage on first reading or first listening. But don't worry, there's hope and there's light in the midst of it. So hang on in there. And tonight I want us to briefly think about something that is a theme of Advent, and that's the return of Christ in power, and I'm going to be touching on that. So if you have a Bible near you, can you turn to Luke 21, Luke chapter 21. If you've got a phone with your Bible on, turn it on. Put it on silent now. Thank you. Luke 21, verses 25 to 36, and it will appear a as if by magic on the screen, which it has. You may be wondering where I'm going with this, but don't worry, hang on in there. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror. I'll read it from that one. Apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I can tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. You may be thinking, that doesn't sound terribly Christmassy, Louise. Now, if we were a church that followed the lectionary, which we're not, but this is an Advent reading, one of the readings in the three-year Bible plan that covers most of the Bible. It's not about the birth of Jesus, it's not about the shepherds, it's not about the manger, but it's about who God is. It's about the return of Christ in power and what people are meant to be and do in the midst of darkness and in the midst of tribulation. Remember that phrase I just said, that you can only see the stars when it's dark enough. That's kind of the sum up of the passage. So let me give you a bit of historical context about the passage that we're looking at tonight, or briefly jumping off from. Jesus predicts the destruction of the temple. He said the temple will pass away. And a generation after his death in AD 70, the temple was burnt down. Let me turn over my page. And several things happened. Several years later, it was completely destroyed. Not one stone was left on the other. And Jesus said that would happen. And he predicted that things would get even darker than this. I was looking up this week about the things that happened in history that corresponded to what Jesus said would happen. So if you like your history, this is something I found out this week. The things that got dark after the destruction of the temple. A Roman general called Titus erected a statue of Caesar in the courtyard of the burnt-out temple in AD 72. It caused uproar, and after that, the Jews were driven out from Jerusalem. All the Jews were driven out from Jerusalem. It was a horrible, really dark time. It was a nasty time. There was a whole suicide plot in history. I was reading about it this week. Terrifyingly dark and stark times. Cheerful. You might be thinking, this is lovely. Great. What's all this got to do with Christmas? And Advent, you might say. Because it's a strange text for a season in which we're all jolly. Or are we all jolly? We're not all jolly, are we? That's true. At Christmas, for many of us, is this sense of happiness. I love Christmas. I love wearing my Christmas jumper. I love singing Christmas carols, as long as we don't get to sing Come and Join the Celebration, which... Oh, do we have to? Deep joy. It's not the reason for the season. No. But for many of us, Christmas is a difficult time, isn't it? It's a time when, you know, we miss the folk we love. It's a time when we're starkly shown that human frailty is around. When our relationships perhaps aren't the best that they should be. And it's good that we actually reflect on the darkness as well as the light at Christmas. Because one of the themes for me in the Christmas story is that God chose to be human. And I find that extremely powerful, because when you're human, there's a mixture of pain and there's a mixture of frailty and there's a mixture of being messed up and messy, and life isn't perfect. And that's also part of the Christmas story. It's about what real light and real darkness looks like. And I think as a world, we're living through light and darkness times. 2016 has been seriously unpredictable on the world stage. Anyone disagree with me? We would not have guessed at this point last year, if I'd said to you, Donald Trump is going to be the next president of America, you would have laughed at me. We would never have predicted this. We're living in light and dark times, just like our passage. And like many of the teachings of Jesus, the passage is about who you are in the midst of darkness. It's a call to hope, to stand firm, and to look up. And sometimes we all need to be reminded to stand firm and to look up. Now, if you're a person who has never faced any sadness in your life, then I can honestly say that you're blessed. You could probably tune out now, actually, if you're that person. You could plan your Christmas shopping. You could mentally work out who's leaving Strictly tonight. You could sort it all out in your head. But if you're like the rest of us and are acquainted with grief and with trouble, then perhaps there's something we can learn in our passage tonight. Because this is what Advent and Christmas is all about. That when there is nothing you can do, God does. When there is nothing that you can do, God acts on your behalf. Because that is who he is. Faithful. True. Firm. Gracious. When you are without resources of any kind and you see a tide or a flood coming towards you and you think, oh, crumbs, I cannot cope with any more that life throws at me, then our passage reminds us what we're to do, to lift up our head, because it's when things are the darkest that we're allowed the grace to see the stars. But that's not always easy to do. This text is about difficult, dark times. And sometimes people give us advice about what we do when we're in the middle of dark times. It's like, pull yourself together. All's going to be well. Well, that's not helpful, is it? Don't you hate it when you're having a difficult time? And people go, well, just look up. When life gives you lemons, you need to make lemonade. This text is about what's real in the brokenness of life. When there's nothing that you can do. Times of illness and sorrow. Times of anxiety and depression. Times of bereavement. Times when you feel that your hope is not on firm ground, like we've sung about. What do you do in the midst of those times? And that's exactly what our text is about. Raise your head, says Jesus, because your redemption is drawing near. Raise your head because your redemption is drawing near. The kingdom is coming. Salvation is on its way, not because you're cheerful, not because you're optimistic in the face of everything that life throws at you, not because you're positive, not because of anything that you do, but because always, it's about what God does, about who God is, and about what God is planning in your life that you have no idea about yet. The God who is in the business of acting. The God who is faithful for his promises of good for his people. Our hope as Christians does not rest in what we can do, but in what God does. The God who acts when we can't. The God who saves when we hopelessly mess up again and again. The God who gives us victory when we feel utterly defeated. That's the God, the Advent and Christmas God that we worship. And the call of the gospel is not that we learn to rely on ourselves, not that we put our big girl pants on, as I sometimes say, but that we completely and utterly rely on the mercy and on the faithfulness and on the love of God. This is an Advent theme because we need to reflect once more of where God is in the midst of darkness. In dark and difficult times, in whatever life is throwing at you at the moment, the God who is Emmanuel. That astonishes me every year when we sing, O come, Emmanuel, that God would choose to tabernacle with us. That God went, look at that lot. I'm going to go be human because I love them. The God who is beside us always. The God who is with us. The God who is faithful. For those of us who were here last week, Dan challenged us with an excellent sermon. He's going, checks in the post. A go and do sermon. It was a go and tell others. It was a go and live your faith out sermon. If you've not heard it, go listen to it on the website. It was really very good. It's not often I publicly say very, very good. Well done. Tonight is not a go and do sermon. Tonight, I think it's a pause and believe sermon. It's a chance to go, and I think we all need that chance now and again to exhale, to stop, and to remember who God is. The God who can, the God who does act on our behalf. So really, it's not that doom and gloom filled after all, but it's a reminder of the responding, never-ending grace of God over each one of us. Because sometimes we forget that God brings victory in the face of our defeats. That's the hope of the world. That when the world was at its darkest, God said, here's a gift wrapped in swaddling clothes. You who did not earn it, you who didn't expect it or think it up, but here's a gift, pure, unmerited, gracious gift, because I want you to know that I am with you. God creeps down the back stairs of heaven and places Jesus in a manger in Bethlehem. And our task this Advent is, as the song or a poem, I think, says, all that we can do is to make our way to that place, to bend the knee before him whom heaven and earth adore. But the risk for all of us is that we allow the froth and bubble of Christmas, and I love the froth and bubble of Christmas. Here am I in my Christmas jumper, and I have many Christmas jumpers. I love a bit of Christmas. I love a bit of tinsel. I love all of that. But sometimes in all of that, we miss out and we forget the real reason. The God who came to save us, the God who came to live amongst us because he wanted to experience humanity, the God who is with us, Emmanuel. Let's not forget that this Christmas. Advent is a dark time, deliberately so. It's dark enough so you can see the light that is coming, blazing with hope and with love. The light that Jesus sends into the world in Jesus Christ, the hope. So what I wanted to do tonight is to ask you, what are the situations that you have given up on? Because our passage was a story of a complete hopelessness. And tonight we're being reminded that in the midst of the darkness, God acts. But sometimes we don't know what he's doing because he's working behind the scenes. He's working before the marriage, like Mary, behind the inn in a stable with those that no one else expected to hear, the shepherds, Simeon and Anna, the old people, all those people who were focusing on in the cast of Christmas. God is working behind the scenes and does what no one expects. So what I'd like us to do, we don't often do this, is I'd like us to get into some small groups, and if you're not happy doing this, that's okay, and I'd like us to pray together. To pray for those hopeless places and hopeless situations that maybe we've lost faith that God is doing anything in. Those situations, maybe on the world scene, maybe on our scene, that we've forgotten that God is acting. And perhaps there's somebody who's really on your heart, who's really struggling, who can't see the light for the darkness that's overwhelming them. And perhaps tonight's opportunity, just very briefly for 5 minutes or so before we worship again, is to kind of proclaim the name of Jesus over those situations. To say, yes, I believe in the hope that you have, Jesus. Yes, I believe that you're acting, even if I can't see it for myself, because I trust you. Would you be willing to do that together? To look around you and let's pray just very briefly for 5 minutes. I'm sure all of us can think of situations that need the hope of Jesus speaking into. the name of Jesus. If you're not comfortable praying aloud, that's okay too. I bet there's somebody in your group who is. So move your chairs if need be. We can move the chairs. We have a flexible space. And we're going to pray. Don't knock your cups over because I've been on my hands and knees already today. We've got 5 minutes. Pray quickly.